Hello and welcome along to the Property Academy podcast by Opus Partners. I'm your host, Steve Knight.
And I'm Andrew Nicol.
And today's show, we're talking about how summer and winter impact the property market. Does it make it heat up and cool down? Now, Andrew, what do people usually say about summer and winter and how it impacts both property prices and sales?
Well, I think most people believe that, you know, in those warmer times, people are more likely to go out to open homes, feeling a bit more buoyant about the market and happy about life. And so we're more likely to transact big properties.
And I remember we had our friend and colleague, Mickey Limmer, on the show. He's a real estate agent. This is a couple of years back to talk about, you know, the ups and downs of the property market throughout the year. And he gave us that typical real estate agent run around.
Yeah, they're basically like politicians, right? No real answer.
Yeah, and so we've dug into the data to actually see, well, is winter really more quiet? Do property prices go down in winter? And can you get a bargain there? And maybe in summer, are you going to pay a more expensive price? Well, we've actually now looked into the data. Now, if we think about how property prices change over a year, we typically see that prices are pretty flat during the Christmas period. So, you know, on the average December, the average January, don't expect property prices to change. They're pretty flat.
Now, do you think that's because people aren't looking or that lawyers aren't available to transact them?
I would have thought that people don't really want to move house around January, December. Yeah, maybe that lawyers aren't around and so you don't transact as many. But, you know, on average in December and January, property prices stay pretty flat. And then what's really interesting is that according to the Rhines data, they spike in February. So we recently just looked at some February data out of Rhines and we were talking about, wow, the property market's bouncing back. Now that I've seen this data, I'm thinking, oh, well, of course, property prices were bouncing back in Feb because that's what usually tends to happen according to that Rhines data. So you would expect property prices to go up a bit. Okay, so what happens in autumn? Property prices, you know, they tend to stop going up quite as much. And so they start to go down a bit in autumn. But what's interesting is they start to pick up again throughout winter and into spring.
Yeah, that's really surprising to me.
Yeah. So if you think about the traditional advice is property prices a bit softer in winter. Well, actually, I'd say they're softer in the middle of autumn. They start to warm up a bit throughout winter and then spring they're really hot again. And then you'd think that summer would be hot, but actually no. December and January makes summer pretty quiet all up before it roars back into life once you get into Feb. And so, you know, there are kind of two hot spots throughout the year. One's in February, kind of March-ish. You'd expect a lot of good property price growth then. And then in spring, you know, winter a bit quieter, but autumn is when it's really cold. And then also that kind of December, January. So a little bit different from what we've historically thought about. Anything really surprise you about this, Andrew?
I do find it really interesting that it kind of drops off a bit over autumn and then warms up a bit over winter. I thought winter, you know, in New Zealand, you know, we can have some pretty rough winters and we stay at home. We're not going to go to open homes. I would have thought that autumn we'd still actually be seeing a bit of movement and then it drop off in winter.
Well, the interesting thing as well is, of course, that is price data. And so we'll come to the number of sales and how easy it is to sell your house throughout the year in a second. But this made me think a lot about when the peaks and the troughs of the market come. And it actually made me think, well, of course, the bottom of the market was more likely to happen in May, which is the middle of autumn. And of course, property prices did bottom out most recently, May 2023. That was the bottom of the market as a country. And that made me think, well, of course it was in May because that's when property price growth is softest. So the bottom of the market was either going to happen in December or January or in the month of May because those are the quietest months. So it's more likely that that is where we're going to have the bottom of the market. And then I thought, well, of course the peak of the market is either going to be in November or February. So remember, the Real Estate Institute of New Zealand said that the peak of the market was November 2021. And that's in spring, so that's going to be a hot area of the market. So of course that's going to be the top of the market, and then property prices are more likely to fall after that because December and January are really, really quiet. And so that was quite interesting to say, oh yeah, so we've recently had these peaks and troughs in the market, and they've also happened at the times when the property market is either hottest or coldest within the year.
The amount of excitement on your face when there's data to support the theory is just so good.
Well, no, it just makes you think, oh, yeah, of course that's when the peak of the market was going to be, or of course that's when the bottom of the market's going to be. Mm. And it did just make me think again about how we were talking about property prices bouncing back, and we're saying, oh, cool, February was really strong. And so the question is, well, should we take that as evidence that the property market is bouncing back? Or is that just what happens normally in a February? Well, it's just what happens normally in a February. What I should go back and do is say, well, how strong was the most recent February? And in some parts of the country, it was particularly strong. I think Christchurch property prices went up 2.2% in the most recent February. So we expect February to be strong anyway, but how strong was the most recent February compared to what we'd expect? And that's where we could ask the question, well, is this evidence of the property market bouncing back, or is this just what we would usually expect throughout the year? Okay, that's property prices. Let's put that to one side now. Let's come to property sales. What typically happens to the number of properties sold throughout the year?
So interestingly enough, the number of transactions in summer creeps up, but it's actually pretty low in, again, December, January, and then it ramps up over autumn, flattens out at about winter, and then starts to increase in spring. And I remember, you know, back in the days when I was at the BNZ, they'd always have spring home loan campaigns. And that was because they, you know, they saw this major uplift in people, again, buying and selling houses in that time.
Yeah, and what's really interesting is the property sales data doesn't perfectly match up with the price data.
Mm.
So we were saying before that autumn, that's when property price growth starts to slow down and is pretty quiet. But actually, those are the boom times for property transactions, the number of properties sold. And there's something really interesting that's happening in April, Andrew. Talk to us about this.
Yeah, so basically in autumn, you see kind of a reasonably strong month in March and then a strong month in May. April, this big dip. And
it's like a bit of a V, right?
Yeah, big V. And so we're just talking about this off air. Right now, we're just starting out in April. And normally in April, you've got kind of a trifecta. You've got Easter, you've got school holidays, and you've got Anzac weekend. And so you've got all these distractions. Your kids are at home, you're off work. You're maybe not wanting to think about buying a house or selling a house in that time.
Yeah. And so it's just amazing that March strong, April weak, May strong. And I think you've got to put it down to some of those public holidays and the school holidays. So it's just interesting that even though autumn is strong overall, there can be some seasonality just because of those public holidays. Winter is a bit quieter. But what's interesting is winter, you'll see more properties transact than December and January when you've got the big Christmas break. So it just shows you how these big public holidays really impact the property market.
We've got to get rid of them.
Wow.
That would be your dream, wouldn't it? Just work every day.
I like work, so I don't like these public holidays, but I know that that's an unpopular opinion.
He spent the whole morning complaining about the Easter holiday.
So if we cut through the kind of data nerdy stuff we've been talking, let's just come to what people should actually do with this information, Andrew. So what do you think are the opportunities for sellers? When is the best time to sell?
Okay, so if you're thinking about selling purely based on the data, you should be getting ready to sell in spring, which again was kind of what I always thought, but it's nice to have that data to back that up. But bear in mind, probably lots of other people are going to be selling properties at that time, and so there'll be more competition in the market. So while it's a good time in terms of number of transactions, just be aware that you're not the only person thinking that.
Yeah, and then you kind of weigh it up. Well, what about demand versus supply? Well, what I'd say is you're going to have more properties are selling generally in spring, but the thing you really care about is prices ramping up. So the best time to sell in terms of prices would have to be throughout spring and then February as well. So if you come out of the Christmas break, you head into January, that's probably a good time to think about preparing your property for market, because property prices start to spike in Feb. And then once we get into that kind of September, October, November. But let me ask you this, could there be an argument to sell in winter because there's less competition, Andrew?
Yeah, so we spoke to one of the head auctioneers at Ray White, Sam Steele, and he said that March and November are their two busiest months for sales. That's what we see in the data as well. But he reckons that there's a case for selling over winter. And the reason for that is you do have less competition. So there's still reasonable transactions happening in winter. Yeah, it drops off a bit, but it's not bad. And if you've got less people that you're competing with when you are selling, maybe there's an advantage of getting ready to sell in winter.
Yeah, okay. So I actually looked at the number of listings to see what happens, and it pretty much lines up with the number of property sales. So there is a massive boom from December, January, then you hit into Feb and lots of listings hit the market. And then throughout autumn and winter, the number of listings go down and then it ramps up into spring. So it pretty much aligns with what we were saying in terms of the number of property sales. Again, if I just cut to the chase, the thing I care about is the best price, right? So if I really cared about getting the absolute best price possible, I'd have to say, do it in February and March, do it in kind of October, November. So the end of summer, the kind of middle of spring, those tend to be the areas where we see the biggest price gains. It is also where we see the most listings, but I care about prices. So that's where I'd be listing my house personally. So if we think, Andrew, you know, what's the best and worst months for sellers? And then we'll come to the best and worst months for buyers.
So as a seller, your best months are February, October, and November. Worst months are April, December, and January. Now, if you're a buyer, it's the opposite of that.
Yeah, so if you're a buyer, you'd probably be saying, well, the best months are going to be April because everybody else is away on holiday. They're all thinking about Easter and Anzac Day. And so there's not going to be as many transactions, but you've still probably got a decent amount of stock on the market. So let's get in there and snag a deal while property prices aren't going up at quite the same rate. And then December and January, very few transactions going on. Property price is pretty flat, so you've probably got a little bit more time to be able to get into the market, find to the right sort of property for you. Just bear in mind some of the things we were talking about before. The banks close down for a bit, and then same with lawyers. All of the lawyers go away on holiday in January.
For a whole month, right?
And so it's going to be a bit more difficult, but that's why there's an opportunity in there as a buyer. If we think about the worst times to be a buyer, it's going to be when property prices are going up a bit more and there's more competition. So that is going to be in spring, and that is going to be at the tail end of summer, so kind of that February, March time-ish as well. So that just gives you a bit of sense about what happens to the property market over an average year and some of the seasonality that comes in there as well. Now, if you want to dig in as well into a bit more detail around the property market, I want you to come to my upcoming webinar on Tuesday, the 16th of April. We're going to talk about all of the new tax rules for Kiwi property investors, because there are a lot of changes that have literally just come into play with ticking over onto the 1st of April. So we're talking about the Airbnb tax. We're talking about interest deductibility, Brightline. And we need to talk about tainting as well, Andrew, because that is going to come back into play now that the Brightline rule changes. So if you want to learn all about those new tax rules and how they impact you, come along. Links down in the show notes. So tap or swipe over the cover art, or just go to opuspartners.co.nz/webinar. Right, let's wrap it up there. But please don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. It really does help us get the message out to more people. Thanks for listening to the Property Academy podcast. I'm your host, Steve McKnight.
And I'm Andrew Nicholl.
We're going to be back here tomorrow with even more daily strategies, tactics, and insights to help you get the most out of the New Zealand property market. Until next time.